Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we are watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comic books for the NPR website. I'm here with NPR Books editor Petra Mayer. Welcome, Petra.
Hi, Glenn.
A massive and much-anticipated new graphic novel was recently published from one of the premier analysts of and advocates for the comics medium. It's called The Sculptor, and it's by cartoonist Scott McCloud. First things first, Petra, you picked this book as an NPR Books first read. A, why'd you do that? And B, what should people know about Scott McCloud?
Scott McCloud is best known for a series of actually nonfiction critical works that he wrote in the 90s. The first one was called Understanding Comics. And, you know, nowadays, I sort of want to punch every headline I see that, I mean, if you can punch a headline, I want to punch them that say comics are not just for kids anymore.
Exactly.
But Scott McCloud in 1993 was one of the first people to say that.
Yeah.
And when he said it, it was fresh and new and brilliant when he said that we were all underestimating this medium and confining it to something much smaller than it could be.
That's the power of those books. I mean, he made his bones on a very fun retro science fiction comic series called Zot! Exclamation point, in case you doubted it was retro science fiction fun. But he's chiefly known today as the author of those three books, Understanding Comics, Reinventing Comics, which came out in 2000, and then Making Comics in 2006. They are books about the art and theory and practice of the comics medium. And it's exactly what you said, Petra. These books are about what this medium can do. I still press Understanding Comics into the hands of anybody who wants to know why I love comics so much, what the medium can do, its enormous potential. They're all done in comics form. He's got this cute little avatar of himself that walks you through all these different thoughts. And there's some real insights there about the history and the technique and the aesthetics of what he kind of, you know, in a big way calls sequential art, appropriating a term from Will Eisner. And The Sculptor is his first honest-to-God graphic novel, which surprised me.
What you've just said is kind of why I picked it as a first read. I mean, somebody with so much to say about art, and he's now written a graphic novel that is about an artist. It's, in a nutshell, it's about a young sculptor. He's had some success. He's kind of tanked. He's frustrated, and death comes to him and makes him a deal. His art in return for his life. Mm-hmm. He will have the ability to sculpt whatever he wants with his hands, but he only has 200 days to do it in, and then he dies. And so the question of the book is, once you have that talent, what do you do with it? And then, of course, he falls in love, and there's all those complications. I wanted more from it.
Okay.
I really did. I thought it was going to be a big, important book. I still think it's a big, important book.
Well, it's a big book.
Because it gives us so much to talk about,
500
actually.
Pages. It's a big honking book.
I can't figure out how meta it's being, because the book essentially is about a guy with skill but no taste. And how self-aware is that?
I tend to agree with you. We should make clear that we're kind of the outliers here. This book is getting rave reviews. Mm-hmm. I was also a little disappointed in it, mostly because, not in the technique. There's a moment near the end that is a wordless sequence where all these memories kind of come rushing back to the main character. And why that's so brilliant is we've seen these memories referred to in the past, and they come out more, they're fleshed out more, and we learn new things at the very end of the book about the character. I think it's a really smart thing to do. Where it failed for me was on the story level, the basic plot level, because it's okay to have a main character who is this narcissistic and this obsessed with the aesthetics and technique and just beauty. And he can be somebody who groups people into these little boxes, and you can have these characters defined by their relationship with the main character. That's all fine. But you as the author have to at some point have those neat preconceptions that your main character retains. You have to have them shattered or at least challenged. Otherwise, we the reader don't know where, exactly as you said, Petra, where the author ends and the character begins. It starts to feel like a treatise. It starts to feel like the flatness of these characters may not be the point. It may be just because you're not fleshing out the characters. So yes, this book is a huge achievement. On the pure writing level, this story of the tortured artist who must do something and all these people kind of flatten in front of him felt almost like undergraduate fiction. Fiction writing workshop kind of level. Very, very simple, very straightforward, and it's something I wanted more out of. So this is not a show where we dump on things. This is a show where we recommend things we love. So on that note, what are some other massive, honkin', big, huge graphic novels that you think people should read?
I was thinking about big black and white novels that had things to say about art. Mm-hmm. And I will use any excuse to tell people to read Finder, which is one of my favorite graphic novel series of all time. And a good place to start is Volume 4, which is called Talisman. Mm-hmm. And it's the story of the youngest daughter of a family who we've seen in other books and her quest for a book that she loved when she was a kid before she ever knew how to read. Somebody was reading her this book and then it was lost. And the story is about what it meant to her and how she searches for it and how when she finds it and it's not what she thought, what that then means to her and how she thinks around that. So it has all kinds of things to say about what storytelling means to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is a lovely introduction to a larger universe that also has wonderful things to say about books.
Sure. And that particular series, she's written it over the course of many, many years. You can see her technique evolving in a really basic, essential way. It's really cool to see.
It is cool to see. This is far enough along in the arc of Finder that her art has become much more refined and her storytelling has become much more refined. I mean, I love Finder, all of it.
Sure.
But this is a good way in for people who are a little intimidated by it.
One graphic novel I thought of while I was reading The Sculptor, which doesn't say a lot about The Sculptor, is A Drifting Life by Yoshihiro Tatsumi, which is a manga about how this guy became a manga master. It's an autobiographical tome, huge book, about exactly what The Sculptor sort of skirts around, which is how the subject of A Drifting Life is his obsession, his inability to connect to people around him, his tendency to flatten people into little boxes. And that was something that just kind of jumped out at me. There's also a wonderful graphic novel called Temperance by Kathy Malkasian, which is a dark fairy tale about a city that's walled off from the outside world. The people are told that there's a war going on outside, but it's not true. They're kept in the dark about this. One woman goes outside the city walls, finds an amnesiac soldier, brings him back into the city, and tells him that he is her beloved husband. It's this weird, elusive, abstract novel that is incredibly satisfying and gorgeously drawn. And finally, Habibi by Craig Thompson is about a young woman and a boy. It's a love story that is set in an Arab country. It gets accused of things like Orientalism and exoticism and appropriation. The diligence that this guy brings to this world and how well he creates it and how much he is prepared to tell this really human story about these two characters and bring all this history and religion and sexuality into the book is just fantastic and fascinating. Anything else people should know?
Yeah, actually, I did have a couple more. Very quickly, what I thought of when I was reading The Sculptor was Marianne Satrapi, who's known for Persepolis. She also wrote a book called Chicken with Plums, which is about her uncle, who is a famous musician. And that's not a big honking graphic novel. That's short. It won't take you much time, but it's lovely. And then the other thing I was thinking about just very quickly is Castle Waiting by Linda Medley, which
it's a great series.
Everyone should read. I think it's finally done. It's out in a bunch of beautiful hardcovers. It's a book about what happens when a bunch of fairy tale characters from different tales and some that just seem like they're from fairy tales, but I think she made them up, end up stranded together or just living together in a castle that is clearly Sleeping Beauty's castle after she's revealed herself to be an idiot and run off with the prince.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this lovely, gentle series of interweaving stories about these characters and their relationships and their friendships and their loves. And you can just get lost in it. The art is beautiful. The lettering is gorgeous, which is, you know, an important part of comics that people overlook. You should all read it. That's really what I have to say about Castle Waiting. Go read it.
Well, these are only a few of our favorite graphic novels, and we've got a lot more, and I'm sure you have a lot more. So please come to the Facebook page and tell us about the things that you love. Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes and from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thanks, Petra.
Thank you, Glenn.